Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
I know all of the tricks of the trade now that I have done this and filled in for Spencer in the past. Even Isaac is looking at me through the glass. Combination of surprise and, dare I say, admiration on his face. Oh, you don't need to admire me. Todd Brolecamp filling in for Spencer Wagon today and tomorrow. This is Spencer on Sports, kicking off a four-hour block of great local programming here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 KGYM. You can also catch us on 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and online at KGYMradio.com. We'll get to our poll question there coming up in just a little bit. Plenty to chew on today as Big Ten Football Media Days wrap up with Day 2 action in Indianapolis. P.J. Fleck and Minnesota meeting the media for the first time since yesterday's report came out that there may be some issues within that program. Yesterday, Ohio State spoke, so that usually means it's Michigan's turn in the spotlight today, and Jim Harbaugh had a lot to say about a lot of things except for his four-game suspension at the start of the season. And the Hawkeyes stuck around day two as well. We'll hear more from Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeye players as to what they had to say. Lots of news in the sports world to get to. The results of last night's U.S. Women's National game against the Netherlands winds up being a draw. We'll bring Isaac in here momentarily for that. Also, yes, there was a story that came out yesterday, I believe after Spencer left the air, before I came on the air on the Todd Brolecamp show at 4 o'clock, Colorado. How about Colorado? Remember when Colorado was in the Big 12 the first time? Well, they're going back to the Big 12, and it is going to set off another round of speculation about schools joining new conferences, realignment. Does this spark anything new with the Big Ten? Touch on that coming up in a little bit as well. 319-366-1600 is the talk and text line. You could use it to reach me here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We've even got some afternoon baseball. There's not a ton going on in baseball today, but it is a Shohei Ohtani day with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and he did Shohei Ohtani things. Now, the question is, did he do them on the mound or did he do them in the batter's box? We'll give you an MLB rundown coming up on the back half of the program. Isaac, what's up?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I was worried that I was going to have to remind you those when you walked in.
Thought you were going to have to come get me or what?
No, I was just scared. I don't know. It crossed my mind. I was like, oh, maybe I should have told him.
No.
Quick reminder, I know it was only a week ago, right?
It was like a week ago, yeah. I filled in last Thursday, and he filled in on Friday for me. Now I'm here today and tomorrow, and then I think the next time people have to worry about one of us being, let's be honest here, nobody's worried about when Spencer or I are gone, but I do have a date in August that I will not be here. Somewhat problematic, but we are handling it. It was something that I was not going to miss. So we will get to that and more. U.S. women's team, I'm assuming you watched the game last night.
Yeah, I did.
I did not know that there was that much holding in soccer.
Yeah.
It's kind of a physical, rough game.
It was a very physical game. Really frustrating for me to watch. I was pretty upset with the, not upset, but wondering what the U.S.'s coach was doing.
Now, this is the second game now where he's been questioned, right?
Yeah.
About his lack of strategy. He doesn't sub?
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of Joe Mazzulla not using timeouts. I mean, why would you have five and you make one the entire game? I'm not saying you got to use all five, but you can at least put a forward in those last 10 minutes when you really have the Netherlands on the back foot and, you know, I don't know, take out like Sullivan, your defensive midfielder, and put in another forward and play like a 4-2-4, and have two strikers up top and really, you know, put the pressure on the Netherlands. But
now,
he decided not to go with that, and I it kind of baffles me a little bit.
There was one person yesterday on KGYM that did say that the draw was a possibility. Do you remember who that was?
Was it you?
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
I said, well, Wiggy was asking on the text line last night, and I said, this is going to go one of two ways. Either they're going to blow the Netherlands out because they were upset about only scoring three goals in their first game, and so this was going to be the game where they just came out and blasted away, or it was going to wind up being a draw. I didn't see them winning like a 2-1 mm-hmm. match last night. So it winds up being a draw. So you're the soccer guy. I feel like I'm sucking oxygen away from the gym class here because they have been talking to you about soccer. So I'm going to ask you, they will probably ask you the same question during the 3 o'clock hour, but what does this now mean for the group? They can still win the group, right?
Yeah, they can still win. USA has to, I would say, at least score three against, win by at least three against Portugal to finish first in the group.
So now we've moved into the Brian Ferentz territory of the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
Where now, okay, average 25 points a game, so they got to worry about, so it's goal differential.
Yeah, because I'm assuming the Netherlands are going to beat Vietnam and beat them pretty handily.
Okay.
And so Netherlands only beat Portugal by one. Obviously, they just drew with the U.S. I assume the Netherlands will probably beat Vietnam by, I'm going to say four, just because I like the way they looked in attack yesterday. I think they looked really aggressive, particularly in the first half. And so if the U.S. can slide three past Portugal, that'll put them squarely and comfortably in first there.
All right. So what you're saying here is that maybe taking the over on the total number of goals in that game is, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday, right?
Yeah, it's going to be an early one, so it's not going to be able to watch it live.
Just bet it and forget it, as I like to say. 319-366-1600, the talk and text line. Again, you can use it to reach me here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. This is sort of a trial run today for the Todd Brommelkamp show, which is coming up later on. I actually enjoy being here in the tour. There's nothing wrong with being on the radio a little bit earlier than I'm used to, just not too early at this point. 2:12 in the afternoon as we take a look at what's going on at Big Ten Football Media Days today. And again, you had a lot of focus on a conference outside the Big Ten, because Colorado yesterday announcing its intention to return to the Big 12. And this, of course, now will set off another round of rampant speculation about what's going to happen to not only the Big 12, which will presumably have, well, if you just believe this is one school coming to the Big 12, it would leave them with an odd number of teams. I think there's probably more movement coming. Now, the big, big idea on everybody's mind right now is about the future of the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 has not had success in getting a new television rights deal. Colorado, I believe, was reading the tea leaves here, reading them correctly, and realizing we got one opportunity to escape, and this is it. And so they're going back to the Big 12, which they were a member of the Big 12. First, it was the Big 6, right? And then it was the Big 8, and then it became the Big 12. They were members of the conference for 60-some years, I believe, 63 years before they left in 2011. Nebraska joined the Big 10. Colorado joined the Pac-12. And as we know, that set off a seismic round of realignment in college football. This is being driven largely by dollars. I know this is going to shock a lot of people, but that's what drives the decisions that college athletic departments and universities make at this point. It also sounds as if Deion Sanders had quite a bit of say in what was taking place here as well, because of the recruiting territories that the Big 12 reaches into. And it'll sound strange to say Texas and Florida, but remember, Central Florida joining the Big 12, actually already a member of the Big 12 as of the first of this month. So you've got Colorado here returning to the Big 12 and a lot of question marks as to what that means for everybody else. I think it would be naive to sit here and say that the Big 10 isn't likely on the brink of picking off the remainder. This is the worst possible scenario for George Kliavkov, the commissioner of the Pac-12, who a week ago either straight out lied when he said that he didn't anticipate any changes, any defections, any expansion, or he was unaware. It's another one of those situations where, much like Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, you either knew or you didn't know, and you are in trouble either way, because you should know. And if you didn't, then that's an even bigger indictment on you. The commissioner of the Pac-12 probably should have known that this wasn't completely dead and buried. So he either knew and didn't say anything last week, or he's caught unawares, caught with his pants down around his ankles, so to speak. What happens to the Pac-12 now? Look, your guess is as good as mine, but what that signals to the Big 12 and the Big 10, and who knows who else. We do live in an era where geography no longer matters. How desperately would the ACC or the SEC choose to get in on the action here? I think all of a sudden Oregon is looking pretty attractive out there for any conference that would want to come along and poach a remaining member or two of the Pac-12. I am specifically speaking about the Big Ten, because what is one issue that Tony Petitti, the new commissioner of the Big Ten, mentioned yesterday in Indianapolis, and that is working out logistics and schedule issues with USC and UCLA coming into the Big Ten. He said they were comfortable with those schools coming in, comfortable with the football schedule, the rest of the sports, a little bit of a work in progress. And going back to USC and UCLA making that announcement that they were joining the Big Ten, there's always been speculation about at least two more teams west of the current Big Ten footprint joining so that they could have travel partners, that they would have some trips that were at least closer to them geographically than Piscataway, New Jersey, and State College, Pennsylvania. And I think you get ready now, if you're the Big Ten, to try to court, if you will, an Oregon, Stanford. This is interesting here. I did this research earlier today. You'll hear this again coming up in a couple hours. But every member of the Big Ten is a member of the Association of American Universities, the AAU, with the exception of Nebraska. Nebraska was an AAU member, and then they were kicked out. The AAU is what the Big Ten is all about. The Big Ten is the only major conference, college conference in the country, that actually has a higher plane of existence than just solely being an athletic league. The Big Ten, a consortium of universities, is very big on academics. And as such, you look at what's left behind in the Pac-12 right now, and you've got seven schools that are AAU members. Oregon, I think with the ties to Nike, with the location, with the facilities, that's going to be a prime target for both the Big 12 and the Big 10 at this point. The Big 12 is not going to want to move forward with an odd number of schools. So somebody's going to make a play, multiple conferences, in my opinion, make a play for Oregon. The other conference members, Pac-12 teams that are remaining that are members of the AAU that the Big Ten could possibly be looking at, You have Washington, Utah, Arizona State, Arizona, Stanford, and Cal. Cal Berkeley, all members of the AAU. That is going to be something that the Big Ten likely takes into account. Big 12 just got its TV deal redone. That's part of the reason why Colorado is making the exit here. $31.7 million. That is the cut of the pie that Big 12 schools are going to be getting. And it's being reported Colorado is going to be in for a full share. There's none of this. You know, the Big Ten, when Rutgers and Maryland, when new members joined the Big Ten sort of eased them into the conference by giving them graduated shares of what everybody else. No, it's not the way that the Big 12 is going to work. Colorado, you come back into the fold, $31.7 million. And if you're the Pac-12, you're out there, you're trying to negotiate your television rights, you just lost the entire state of Colorado, including the Denver television market. Not ideal if you want to keep your conference solvent. So what happens at this point? The Pac-12 is dead. And I've said this on my show. Spencer's probably said this on his. But the Pac-12, there's no school or schools out there that the Pac-12 could convince to join the fold at this point that's going to replace what they've lost. And I've said the same thing about the Big 12, too. And the Big 12 is doing what it can to keep its place among the Power 4, Power 5 conferences, but you can't replace Texas and Oklahoma. You can, but you can't. You can lose two teams, bring five schools in, as the Big 12, but you're not replacing what you lose in Texas and Oklahoma. But the Big 12 is doing the best that it can in this new landscape to solidify its stature as either the third or fourth best conference in the country. You got the SEC is 1A. I think there's a little bit of a drop-off between the SEC and the Big Ten, but they are the two movers and shakers in college sports right now. And then after that, you can make an argument about the ACC, Big 12. Pac-12 clearly is falling. This is a big day for the AAC, Mike Oresko, right? And the AAC, the schools that like to say that they were the sixth member of the Power Five, they may or may not be passing the Pac-12 today. 319-366-1600. Again, talk and text line available for you today. Not always the busiest during the 2 o'clock hour. Understand that sometimes it does feel like you're sitting here talking to yourself. It's not that way for me, though. I've got Isaac. So I'm not talking to nobody. I'm talking to at least one person. Nebraska's Matt Rhule, currently speaking with reporters from the Big Ten Network as the Big Ten Media Days come to a conclusion in Indianapolis. Not a ton of news today, other than the fact that it is the first time that we've heard from Minnesota and PJ Fleck after yesterday's front office sports report that there was a culture of toxicity in Minneapolis. Go figure. Let's go ahead and do this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get you to our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, which has to do with a Big Ten topic I haven't touched on just yet. Yesterday, Ryan Day of Ohio State addressed it. Today, it was Jim Harbaugh's turn. Stay around. Who says stay around? Nobody says stay around. Stay tuned or stick around, but not stay around. More of Spencer on Sports coming up after this quick break here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Kason Ferrix with a check of your forecast. Hot and humid conditions across eastern Iowa this afternoon. Temperatures will be reaching into the upper 90s, but heat index values will make it feel closer to 105 and 110 degrees. For your Thursday night, we are tracking in a slight chance for maybe an isolated shower or thunderstorm. Temperatures will be falling back into the mid-70s. For your Friday, mostly sunny, but a chance for showers and thunderstorms, some that could be on the stronger side in the afternoon and evening. Temperatures will be reaching back into the upper 90s. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now Weather First Forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Walk to defeat ALS August 20th at Kingston Stadium in Cedar Rapids. It's the number one way to unite and fundraise for those living with ALS. Register today and help the Iowa chapter of the ALS Association provide local family assistance and research to unlock ALS.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank is a true community bank, believing service still comes with a local touch. Since 1924, Fairfax State Savings Bank provides secure, honest, relationship-based banking. They understand the little things that make our community special. Strong personal connections, sincere friendliness, and a sense of pride in local growth. And that's how they've succeeded for nearly a century. Learn more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and Cedar Rapids. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Get ready for Oktoberfest in Uptown Marion September 16th. Sample tasty suds from 30 Iowa breweries. Enjoy live music and games. Your general admission ticket includes access to breweries and a commemorative tasting glass. There's also a VIP option that gets you in an hour early with exclusive samples and swag. Raise your glass at Oktoberfest September 16th along 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. Presented by Sheets Forest Draper Insurance and the Marion Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets now at eventbrite.com. Must be 21 or older.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor. Select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Circa Sports Iowa encourages you to gamble responsibly. Problems with gambling? Call or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
.227 and welcome back in to Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM, 1600 AM. Spencer on Sports with you a Thursday afternoon, July 27th. Todd Brommelkamp filling in for the vacationing Spencer Wagon. Isaac, remember the last time I filled in for Spencer and we changed Spencer complaints about the Brewers to Todd tolerates the Brewers? Well, we're going to bring that segment back in a couple minutes here because the Milwaukee Brewers active at the MLB trade deadline. Still a couple days to go before the trade deadline is here, but the Brewers becoming the first National League Central team to make additions ahead of the trade deadline. This comes after last night's shocking trade between the Chicago White Sox and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, signaling to all of the baseball world that the Angels indeed are hanging on to Shohei Ohtani, that they are trying to make a postseason run this year. White Sox getting Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez. The Angels getting Giolito and Lopez from the White Sox for a pair of double-A prospects. Let's see how well Isaac knows his minor leagues. Isaac, the double-A prospects that the White Sox are getting come from the Angels farm system. The name of the team is Rocket City. Do you know the nickname of the minor league baseball team in Rocket City, which I believe is near Huntsville, Alabama?
I would guess Rockets, but I guarantee it's not that. It's too easy.
It is not that. It is too easy. The Trash Pandas.
Oh, I actually have heard of that. I should have thought just a couple seconds longer.
Do you
longer.
Know what a trash panda is?
Yeah, it's a raccoon.
It's a raccoon. See, they're stretching it with the minor league nicknames like Beloit in the Midwest League. Renamed their team a couple years ago as the Sky Carp, and they try to convince everybody, oh, it's a slang for a Canadian goose. Nobody's ever heard of it. I wear the hat. Sometimes people will be like, what's that hat? And I'm just like, it's a Boyd Skycarp hat. I don't like to wear the hat because then I have to explain the, if you have to explain the meaning behind your team's name, you overthought it. That's my approach on it. The Rocket City Trash Pandas are down a couple players today because of the trade between the Angels and the White Sox last night. Speaking of the Angels and the White Sox, or speaking of the Angels, I should say, Shohei Ohtani was on the mound today. The Angels and the Tigers playing a doubleheader in Detroit. And Shohei Ohtani doing Shohei Ohtani things today, not necessarily at the plate where he was 0 for 5, but on the mound as he pitches a complete game one-hit shutout against the Tigers. He struck out 8, walked 3, lowering his season ERA to 3.43. He got through 9 innings on 111 pitches. 71 of those pitches went for strikes. Shohei Ohtani not going anywhere. The Angels making moves, and so too today now the Milwaukee Brewers, the latest team to make an acquisition ahead of the trade deadline. A little National League Central incestuous trading going on here was they get together with the Pittsburgh Pirates to acquire veteran first baseman and designated hitter Carlos Santana. He goes to Milwaukee, a very young 18-year-old player, shortstop Johnny Severino, goes back to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Pirates cash in veteran Carlos Santana for an 18-year-old lottery ticket. The reporting on that trade, courtesy of Jason Mackey at PG Sports Now. Jeff Passan also backing up the report that that trade has gone down. So Carlos Santana heading to the Brewers, who have a 1.5-game lead coming into today's action over the Cincinnati Reds in the National League Central. Cubs are six and a half games back at this point. We'll get a Cubs report brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers coming up sometime between 4 and 6 this afternoon on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Gym class is in next. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes coming in at the top of the hour. They'll have the latest from Big Ten Football Media Days, as well as what's going on in the world of sports. I mentioned that it is a light day around the majors today. Angels and Tigers, the only day game, just four games on tap tonight. The Cubs and Cardinals kicking off a series at Busch Stadium. That's Miles Michaelis going up against all-star left-hander Justin Steele. The White Sox, who again last night officially signaled that they are in sell mode, host the Cleveland Guardians, and Tanner Bibby has been a surprise addition to that Guardians rotation this year. He's 6-2, looking for his 7th win tonight, going up against Dylan Cease. Mets host the Nationals, and the Angels and Tigers play the back end of that doubleheader. Again, Detroit saving up all of its offensive bullets for Game 2 tonight, as they could manage just one hit against Shohei Ohtani today. He's now 9-5 on the year with a 3.43 earned run average. Has, what, 36 home runs? And the Angels making the decision. He's not going anywhere. They're not trading him. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. If the Angels, even if they make the postseason, but they don't get deep into the postseason, and he does not re-sign with them, and I think the indication here is that he does not want to stay with the Angels. He wants to go someplace and win. The Angels are going to try really hard over the next 2-plus months to convince him that they can win in Anaheim. But I don't think it's going to work with him. I think he's going to hit free agency, and they will have made a calculated decision that will net them a compensatory draft pick somewhere in the neighborhood of the 65th or 70th best player in next year's draft. That's a big time gamble that the Angels are making, because you've got a player in Shohei Ohtani who could have returned, I believe, as close to an old school hall of prospects as you're going to see in this day and age. You don't see teams trading prospects or a lot of prospects in one package the way that you used to at least a decade ago. Shohei Ohtani is the one guy that I think would have caused a big league general manager to say, you know what? He hits, he's the designated hitter, but every fifth or sixth day, he also goes out and strikes out a ton of guys, and occasionally he's going to throw a one-hit shutout like he does today. Yeah, we'll give up the farm for 2 months of that if it gets us to the World Series. He's not on the market, and the Angels, nobody believed them. I think they almost had to make the Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez trade last night so that everybody around Major League Baseball would finally believe the Angels when they say Shohei Ohtani is not on the trade block. 319-366-1600. Questions as to what the Cubs and Cincinnati Reds will do approaching the trade deadline. The Reds clearly are in a position where they should buy. They should add to that roster. The Cubs at 50-51 on a five-game winning streak, because naturally that is exactly what you need to do going into the trade deadline, is to show just enough promise that you could possibly convince your fan base that there's a hope of making the postseason. Cubs trying to figure out what they should do with Marcus Stroman and Cody Bellinger. Get more on that coming up again. The Cubs Report brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers every Tuesday and Thursday on the Todd Bromelkamp Show. Tonight I'm also going to have a pair of tickets to see Jeff Dunham, the comedian and ventriloquist, when he comes to the Iowa State Fair August 15th. Just listen for your chance to play Who Said That? Play you a clip coming up in the 4 or 5 o'clock hour tonight of one of Jeff Dunham's mini puppet friends. And if you can identify the correct voice or the name of the puppet, I should say, you're going to be seeing Jeff Dunham at the Iowa State Fair on August 15th. 319-366-1600. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. 1600 KGY. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the poll question that I promised we would touch on here, as it is Big Ten related. Big Ten wrapping up day two of football media days in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. A lot of talk surrounding Ohio State and Michigan, and whether or not a certain game involving those two teams should be moved in the future. Back with more after this.
The long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today, or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. Enhance your home scent with Airwick Air Freshener Refills. They're long-lasting and contain natural essential oils to give your home a fresh fragrance that always smells welcoming. Use them with all Airwick Air Freshener warmers and save big money. A two-pack of Airwick Refills is just $4.78 after 11% rebate at Menards. Good through July 30th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Every time I hear this music, when Spencer plays it, it always makes me think of walking into a place, a bar, club, and you're trying to figure out whether or not you like the vibe before you even go sit down. Because there's still enough time where you could make a quick U-turn and get out the door. Hopefully you're not doing that. Hopefully you're pulling up a stool here with us on KGYM for the next 3+ hours. We got the gym class coming in just a little bit, about 20 minutes from now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, and then I will be back with you from 4 until 6. More coverage of Big Ten Football Media Days. We'll hear from some of the Iowa players. We did not get a chance to get their audio on the air yesterday. By all accounts, sounds like they represented the area and the university well. Matt Weitzel is now the head of athletic communications at Iowa, tweeting out last night that a number of media members came up to him, regional and national media members, complimenting the Iowa players for their friendliness and accessibility. 319-366-1600, talk and text line. Appreciate hearing from some of you out there today. You have weighed in on the Big 12, possibly looking at Utah, 2373. Dwayne, also on the text line today, saying that he would love to see Oregon and Notre Dame join the Big Ten. I think the Notre Dame ghost has been given up a long time ago. And of course, our friend John is on the text line as well. I'm contractually not allowed to refer to him by the name that I refer to him during the 4 to 6 hours. So thank you very much for listening to Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports and Spencer on Sports. Todd Brommelkamp filling in today and tomorrow for Spencer Wagon. We do have a poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com centered on one of the topics that came up yesterday and today in Indianapolis at Big Ten Football Media Days. The Big Ten's doing away with the East and West divisions after this year. USC and UCLA are coming in, and the Big Ten presumably goes to a 1-2 to Indianapolis scenario. The Big Ten championship game will still exist. It will still be played, but it will no longer be East-West. It's going to be the two teams that have the best record in the Big Ten. Many times that can be Ohio State and Michigan. Some national guy yesterday was saying, well, it's still the Big Two, still Ohio State and Michigan. There's still a gulf between everybody, and I would agree with that. I don't think the gulf is as big as it was in the late 70s, early 80s, when Hayden Fry finally broke into that Big Two, Little Eight scenario, got Iowa to the Rose Bowl. But yeah, Ohio State and Michigan, probably 1-2. Now the question is, if you know Big Ten scheduling, you know that Ohio State and Michigan play the last week of the season. The game is always the last week of the season, late November. There has been some chatter. I know Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, mentioning this yesterday, that maybe in the future that game should be moved to avoid playing in back-to-back weeks. When you're Ohio State, you can say that. You can have that swagger. What he's saying is what most of us know, and that's the fact that we could, in multiple years to come, be seeing Ohio State and Michigan playing either in Columbus or Ann Arbor one weekend, and 6 or 7 days later, six Big Ten championship games played on a Saturday. 6 games later, quick math in my head there, they'd be meeting again in Indianapolis. Poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Should Ohio State and Michigan move the date of the game in future years, or should they keep it the same? You could weigh in. Poll questions brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, Iowa's largest and oldest title and abstract business. Find more about them on our website, kgymradio.com. While you're there voting in the poll question, I know there's a ton of tradition in college football, and tradition dictates that the regular season in the Big Ten builds up to that final clash between Ohio State and Michigan. Back in the old days, oh, those were the days. And here Gene Stapleton sitting at the piano with Carol O'Connor right now. But back in the old days, it made perfect sense for that game to be the end of the season contest. Because more often than not, the winner of that game got the Rose Bowl berth. There was no Big Ten championship game. Hell, there weren't even more than a handful of bowl games to go to. Now with the Big Ten championship game, it's not technically the last Big Ten game of the season. I, quite frankly, this is one tradition that I wouldn't mind seeing go away. Move it. Play. How would you like Ohio State and Michigan to play in early October, late September, or better yet, and this is insane, Ohio State and Michigan in week zero or week one? We see this Big Ten teams playing Big Ten games right out of the chute in week one. Imagine putting your biggest rival, Ohio State or Michigan, imagine putting them behind the eight ball in week one. Sign me up for it. The mystery, not knowing either team and what they have coming into the season, it's not going to happen. And chances are that game is going to remain in late November, that it won't move. Matter of fact, Jim Harbaugh today was asked about that by a number of media members, telling Brett McMurphy that we'll play whenever it's scheduled. I don't have a particular opinion when it should be played. I think everyone is used to that being the last game of the year. Chances are that game stays where it's at. You're going to see a replay of it sooner rather than later. In the next 5 years, you tell me, 319-366-1600. In the next 5 years, how often do you think that that could wind up being the championship matchup in the Big Ten? It's not going to happen every year. Just like every year people thought, oh, Ohio State and Wisconsin, going to be every year, Big Ten East, Big Ten West. No, it hasn't been. Now, they've been represented there their fair share. So has Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa. It's been somewhat democratic when it comes to getting teams into the Big Ten championship game, but it's going to be a lot more difficult for even Wisconsin, even Iowa, moving forward to get into that top two spot. Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, yesterday talking about how three teams got into the college football playoff last year, number of teams reaching bowl games. Look, they got the end result that they wanted, which was a massive television contract. A lot of tradition is going by the wayside with the TV dollars. This would be just another casualty. And quite frankly, again, I'm intrigued seeing this game earlier in the year than I am at the end of the year. But it still does give them that carrot on the stick. When it's the last game of the year and they can bury their rival and or salvage the season, you see a mediocre Michigan team knocking off undefeated Ohio State, it is an enjoyable game to watch year in and year out if you like Big Ten football. It's kind of boring when they're both on a collision course for an undefeated season. I like watching when one team is expected to be stomped by the other one, and that's usually in a rivalry. Usually where the team that is the underdog rises to the occasion. Michigan is not the underdog this year, though. Michigan is going to be the team that is likely favored to get to Indianapolis and represent the East in the final year of Big Ten West, Big Ten East. 319-366-1600. Going to take a quick timeout. Come back here at the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Give you a quick rundown of what else is going on in the sports world today. Back with more of Spencer on Sports in 60 seconds.
To find a needle in a haystack, you can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, ZipRecruiter has helped a lot of business owners find their needle in a haystack. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers. Because Telly Tires has grown a lot in the last few years, Marco needed to hire everyone from a receptionist to a store manager to a head mechanic.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill. ZipRecruiter helps me keep my business running.
Take it from Marco and millions of other businesses who've used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FREE. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You know, it was only a matter of time being reported that the Pac-12 is getting together with its old friend, the ACC. Don't call it an alliance, but trying to figure out what those two conferences can do to move forward now that Colorado is going back to the Big 12. This is making me a little nervous here. I know Spencer takes phone calls, right? We'll take a phone call here from John in Iowa City. John, what's up?
You just explained this is the end of the Big 10 East versus West.
Yes.
What's taking its place? I haven't seen that.
The championship game is most likely going to be the top two teams in the conference. There will be no divisions.
No divisions.
Most likely. I mean, that's the collision course that we're on with UCLA and USC coming in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. John in Iowa City had his question answered. I suppose you can get yours as well. 319-366-1600. I don't know. Have they codified that yet? I guess it's the assumption that everybody has been operating under. But East-West, this is it. The swan song. And then life gets a lot more difficult moving forward for teams not named Michigan and Ohio State. 7176 on the text line says, do it week zero and play it on a Thursday night. That would be the ultimate walking away from tradition. Week zero, Thursday night, first game of the year. You know what? Maybe bury that on FS1 or something. We'll see. The TV deal is, I went over the Big Ten schedule yesterday on NBC. That was released or tweeted out by Brett McMurphy. Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, says people are not going to have a problem. He said they will transition seamlessly from CBS, NBC, Fox. It's going to take a while. And I think once people figure out where the primetime games are, I wouldn't say it's going to be right out of the gate. You'll have a lot of people in September trying to find Big Ten football games. What network are they on? Again, if you're an Iowa fan, though, sounds like October is going to be your month if you do not have cable television. 3 Iowa games in a row, all at the moment slated to be broadcast on NBC. Justin, watching the Shohei Ohtani show earlier today, pitching a shutout and complaining about the Cubs. Welcome to the club, Justin. Shohei Ohtani, if you just tuned into the program today, had a no-hitter going through 4 or 5 innings. Tigers were able to break it up. It was the only hit they got, though. Angels now 53-49 in the AL West. Still not quite up there with the Rangers and the Astros, but at least close enough to convince themselves that it's worth going for a playoff berth with Shohei Ohtani. They did not want to trade him. They did not want to upset their fans. They're going to keep him. Now you got to keep him healthy. And what does this mean? Would they get to the postseason and they win a series? If they don't get to the American League Championship Series or the World Series, I still think they probably made a mistake. But we'll find out. More on that coming up, the Todd Bromelkamp Show at 4 o'clock today. Again, a chance for you to take home a pair of tickets to see Jeff Dunham, comedian and ventriloquist, August 15th in Des Moines at the Iowa State Fair. Just to be upfront and honest with you, those are tickets to the show. They do not get you into the fair, and you'll also have to pay for your parking. But the tickets themselves are certainly a nice acquisition. 319-366-1600. College sports world rocked by the news that Colorado is leaving the Pac-12 to return to the Big 12. What does it mean moving forward? So we'll find out. One last Jim Harbaugh quote here today. There's a reason why Cade McNamara winds up at the University of Iowa for this season. He was beat out in week two last year by J.J. McCarthy for the starting job. And Jim Harbaugh had nothing but nice things to say about Cade McNamara yesterday when Chad Lystico and some of the Iowa media asked him to speak, or today I should say, on Cade McNamara, which, by the way, Chad Lystico is going to be joining me on the Todd Bromelkamp show tonight at 5:30. Tom Kakert of HawkeyeReport.com joining the gym class here momentarily. But, yeah, Jim Harbaugh liked Cade McNamara. He really likes J.J. McCarthy. He compared him today not only to Patrick Mahomes, but to Josh Allen as well. That is, that's saying something. 319-366-1600. I don't know about putting those expectations on J.J. McCarthy going into this season, but needless to say, his head coach compares him to Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. What's the worst thing that can happen when your coach compares you to two great NFL quarterbacks? That's going to just about do it for me here. Thank you to, I almost called you Spencer. What's your name again? Isaac?
It's Isaac.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you to Isaac for helping me fill in for Spencer. I'm going to be back here again tomorrow as Spencer remains out on vacation. I just told you about this, so I don't know why I'm telling you again. Tom Kakert of HawkeyeReport.com coming up on the gym class today. Scott and Mark also taking a look at what's going on in the world of sports. And then tonight from 4 to 2 on the Todd Bromelkamp Show, it's Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. The chance to take home tickets to see Jeff Dunham in Des Moines at the Iowa State Fair. Podcast available at kgymradio.com. If you missed anything, keep her tuned. Gym class coming up next.
In your bathroom, but we're worried it would take too long or cost too much. Then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high quality